in Psalm 111, verse 2, and I want to just use the night a little bit with the young people. And by that, I mean the people that sang, the people that went to Ecuador on their trip recently, the brothers over here, Ryan and Nick. And look at this verse, Psalm 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great. Would you say that with me, please? The works of the Lord are great. Are they great? Have you seen any works of the Lord the last week or 2 weeks or the last month or the last year? Have you seen any works of the Lord? Any answered prayer? Any manifestation of God? Any word of encouragement? Any miracle? Are the works of the Lord great? So could I just ask the group that went to Ecuador just to come down front and stand down here for a few minutes, just as I talk for a few minutes here. Come on down, okay. And you guys too, did you? You went too, right? Yeah, come on down. So this is a work of the Lord, these young people. Hey, are they great? I don't know about them, but I know God is great, right? Look at Psalm 111, verse 2 again. The works of the Lord are great. Sought out, like we are looking for them. Are you looking for the work of God? Anybody? Are you looking for the work of God? If the works of God are great, then also if they must be sought out, that's a great combination. There's something great happening in the earth. These are the works of God, and they need to be sought out. And I believe that's why you came here tonight. And why we had Pastor Ramir share about the Philippines this afternoon at the lunch wrap, to hear about the work of God that is great. Okay, so just for a minute, turn to your neighbor, get them involved, and say, are the works of the Lord great, and are you looking for them? And watch this. Somebody will say, neighbor is saying, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to anybody. I went to church tonight, and I don't want to talk to anybody. Okay, so go ahead. Works of the Lord are great. Sought out. Sought out. Okay, finish the verse with me. The works of the Lord are great. Sought out. Hey, I see you guys are, you're having a good time here. Sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. You know, you look for something that you have pleasure in. You look for something that you enjoy it. That's like convention. That's like our New Year's Eve service and our Christmas season and maybe in our neighborhood, and maybe with our family, maybe in my own Bible study. The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all those that have pleasure. Get in the operation of seeking out the work of God, looking for the Word of God. That's like listening to a Christian radio station. I want to hear, what is God doing? That's like reading about missions. I want to hear, what is God doing? And that's these young people. I don't know how to do this because it'd be all night if they all spoke. But I'll let them decide, okay? These are called popcorn testimonies. How many want to hear something? Something small, something big, something great. I don't know, something simple. There you go. There's the microphone. I mean, I don't expect all of you to do all the speaking, but as God leads you, he's going to do good.
Okay. So I'm Ryan, and a few months ago, I had this idea come into my head about, hey, let's go to Ecuador with some young people. And I was like, I don't know where this is from. And I was talking to some people in missions office, and they were like, hey, talk to Pastor Stan. So I like sent him a text super randomly, and he was like, really? I've been thinking about it too. Like, let's go. And it was originally three of us or four of us plus him, and then we grew to 12. And it's just amazing to see how like God really just anointed this time and like built a team, built up people, encouraged people, raised the money. Just amazing things happened, and it's incredible to see it after leading up and like in it, just how God's hand was on it, and I didn't even know it. It was really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like Ryan said, it was an amazing trip. And there was so much that, I mean, God did, even in my heart and in all of our hearts. But just there were a couple things I was thinking of today about it, the trip. And while we were there, one of the days I was reading Psalm 17, and at the end of the chapter, David says that the people of this world, they have their portion in this life. And the very next verse, he says, but I will be satisfied when I see your face in righteousness. And I was just like, that verse kind of came with me throughout the whole week. And just that, just what we do is so crazy to the world and to people who haven't seen the face of God. And like on that trip, our portion was not in this life, but our portion was actually seeing the face of Jesus. And God really showed up, and we did see his face, and it was just so amazing. And then the other thought was just, it was just so amazing to see like how much God will give you when you are in his presence. And it was like, I mean, we have our daily lives, and there's so many details that we go through, but just like having that time set apart like for God and just being in his presence intentionally, like as much as possible, I was just amazed by how much God just kept giving me. And it amazes you, and you're just like, wow, this is just like a taste. Like, I just want more and more. And I was just so blessed.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. A lot of, you know, everyone asks you, like, how was it right after? And there's not really words to describe just, like, what God was doing. Like, everything that happened, everything we did was just so anointed. And being with Pastor Stan was just a huge blessing. I said right afterwards, like, Pastor Stan was my pastor. In 10 days, he was my pastor. And it was just so wonderful. Watching God plant seeds in each person on this trip's heart about specific things, and watching him plant seeds in the people that we spoke with on the street and the people that are believers in Ecuador and Quito. And we just have so much hope that there's going to be a church there in that city. We just have so much hope God placed in our hearts for that. And we're just praying for those people who are just extremely precious to us. Yeah, God just imparted so much so quickly that we didn't deserve to have imparted into us, and love for these people. Yeah.
Two things that I'll never forget about this trip. First one, Pastor Stan talked about all of us being there, talked about unity. And he described it as being like this. Unity stems from love. All right. Now, when you have love, you have unity. But what stems from love is humility. with all three, you have unity. And the second thing that was really big for me is on the plane ride back, super special time. The whole week was just filled, like Sam said, it was just anointed the whole week. There wasn't one second where there was you didn't feel God's presence there. But for me, I got in that plane the last flight back, and I sat next to this couple. I don't remember what the guy's name was, but the girl was sitting next to me, and her name was Robin. And she asked me, where was I coming from? And I told her I was on a missions trip, and she's like, wow, that's amazing. And she said, the last time I was on a missions trip was to Haiti. And I was like, wow, this is going to be cool. You know? So I started talking about the trip, was telling her how great it was, and she was telling me like how big it was that we planted a seed in Ecuador. And it was just interesting to me to, like, when we were talking, it was like we had unity. Me and this person I never met before, we had unity in that moment. And like we showed love to each other. And we're both very humble about it. But yeah, amazing trip.
Really quick. One really awesome thing that happened. We went to this place called Baños, and it was like beautiful. And we all went to this park, and we were just singing songs and worshiping. Some songs in English, some in Spanish, thanks to Seth. And when we got back to the hotel, Stephen pointed something out to me, and he said one man came up, the first guy, and he didn't speak any English. And he didn't know what we were saying. He didn't know the words that we were saying. But he told Pastor Stan that he felt the grace of God in that presence, even though he didn't understand what we were saying. And that was amazing. And then shortly after, this family comes up, and there's a blind woman there, or two. And she, I mean, you could just tell she also felt it because she started singing with us. And she was like translating Seth's songs and singing in Spanish while he was singing in English. And it was like, just like so, such a perfect example that like you don't need to see or hear, you know, like who's there. They just felt it because they didn't understand us. The guy didn't understand us, but he still felt the grace of God. And she didn't even see us, but she still like sang with us and worshiped. And that was just like night two. So it was pretty amazing.
Okay, let's, I know it's Wednesday night, usually you've been working. How many work today? You work today? Okay. Are you comfortable sitting down? I was going to say stand up, but then I thought, yeah, you just are comfortable there. I know you would stand up, no problem. I know you would. Okay. Great. Turn to John chapter 12 for one small part. And this is a personal testimony about something just on my heart today, just thinking about the ministry and what we do. Remember the people on the cruise? They are out to sea somewhere, so I'm sure they're having a great time. Pastor Shibeli has one more week. He's in Togo, Africa, and others at different places, different times. that are giving something. Look at John 12 and this phrase here, verse 5. Judas Iscariot said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, I'll skip verse 6. We know why he said it. I think he was a thief. But that's not the point. The point is, it happens often. Why do you do what you do? You are wasting something. The things that people think about that we are wasting is time, we are wasting money, and also talent. You are wasting something. I want to put here, you are wrong. You are wrong. Have you ever felt that, you know, somebody, the world, maybe relatives or even your friends say, "You are wrong. Are you doing the same thing that you've... Are you still reading the Bible? Do you go to in conferences still? Haven't you found like hobbies and found your profession and your future? What I don't understand exactly why for so long you are wasting." Okay. If Judas says it and you say, "Oh, he said it because he is a thief." Yeah, that's what it says and that's why he said it. But everybody else is thinking it too. Because in another gospel it says, and the disciples agreed with Judas. Who did? The church people also agreed. It actually doesn't say that. It says the disciples said, or the disciples thought it, right? So that's our subject tonight. Isn't it a positive theme? Doesn't that kind of stir you up? Okay, by the way, I am going to ask you to stand in a second. I'm sure you're going to do it just because it'd be embarrassing to disobey the pastor tonight. Okay, so we'll go to verse 7. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone." Let her alone. And let me add, she is right. But you say she's wrong, but actually she is right. Have you ever felt that you're wrong? Have you felt that you're doing something wrong when actually you're doing something right? Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever felt like, "I'm guilty, but I don't know why. I'm going on the homeless outreach. We're going out in the woods with Pastor Ray with a van, and we're giving out toothbrushes, but I feel there's something wrong with that. Give out toothpaste and towels or blankets or..." Do you know last summer this really happened, that somebody donated to the homeless ministry a couple bicycles? I think it was 3 bicycles, and he just put them in the back of the van. And he drove out in the woods somewhere, and he went into the woods to meet these homeless people, and he's talking, and they're kind of angry and they're frustrated, and he said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Somebody stole our bicycles." And he said, "Don't you think God could provide you with bicycles?" He goes, "Let's have a prayer right now." And he goes, "Come with me." And he opened up the van and he gave him 3 bicycles. Isn't that beautiful? Hey, somehow I feel I did something wrong. I gave Alf some bicycles. Or I told somebody on the street that Jesus loves them. Why do I feel I did something wrong? When this woman poured out a box of ointment on Jesus Christ, they said she was wrong. And she wasted it. And it could have been sold. Here comes the value judgment. That could have been sold and given to the poor. But Jesus said, leave her alone because she's done what she could and she did it for my burial. And by the way, when you folks get around to bury me, I'm not going to be there because the tomb will be empty. And she's right on time. Huh? I don't know. I'm just having fun. I mean, you're looking at me like... Yeah, this is good. Okay, so would you stand with me just for a moment? Just stand up with me, have a good attitude, and just say, hey, look, God is good. You're not wrong. You're right. You went to church tonight. You're not wrong. You're right. You're in a good ministry. You're not wrong. You're right. Okay, now, I like it because, you know, you're not talking much, you know, right now you're not talking much because you don't know what to say and you're interested to hear a little more, so you may be seated. Now turn to the second last part of the message, Acts 26, please. Turn to Acts chapter 26. This is a personal testimony part of the ministry. I just want to give you a context for what I want to say. 1972 to 75, I was in a Word of God revival. Where was that Word of God revival? It was up in Maine under Pastor Stevens' ministry. It changed my life. I was a believer 1 year before I met Pastor Stevens, and he introduced me to the Bible, and we had what was called Word of God revival. God moved. God moved. God, something happened. We got new values. We kind of broke the box of ointment. We wasted something. We wasted our time, our talent, and our money. We wasted our future, we wasted our opportunities for the future, and so on. Then, 1975 to 81, I was part of another Word of God revival. Where was that? Finland. What happened? The people today, and some of them are here, they say those years were special. Those years, something happened. God moved. We were right when we gave our life to Christ. We were right. We believe God. The world says we are wrong. You're wasting your time and your talent and your money. You could be a professional person in Finland, and they are anyway. But the world society says, missionary, pastor, Ecuador, Pastor Stan, you know, there's something wrong in that picture. There's something wrong in that picture. But well, what is wrong with it? I don't know. It's just weird. It's just weird. There's something wrong about it. Okay? 81 to 87, I was part of another Word of God, the same Word of God revival. Where was it? Lenox. 87 to 90, Baltimore. I was part of another one, and this is 90 to 2003. Another one, where was that? That was in Hungary. And I talked on the phone with one of the Hungarian pastors yesterday, and I just said, those years, that 10 years in the 90s, he goes, it was, he said, it was exceptional. What happened? It was wrong. We lost time and money and talent, and young people made decisions, and they did something outside of what society would say was right. What society says is right sometimes is what we are so careful to do. And it happened in those years. Boy. What does it mean? It means even now there's some Lenox website with photos back from those years in Lenox. Even, you know, there are people that have been there. They're not in this ministry anymore. They're out, whatever they're doing, following God or whatever they're doing. God knows. I don't know. And I don't, it's none of my business, their lives and so on. But there are people that remember Lenox like, wow. Why were we on fire? Why did we have vision? Why did we, to use this young people group, why did we love Pastor Stan? Why did I get on an airplane and my heart burned inside my heart? And why did I talk to the person sitting next to me and there was something going on in a spiritual way? Why did I read Psalm 17 and what is it, verse 15? I know I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, but the other people have their portion is in this world. Why does that happen? Why does that happen? You know why. So from 2003 to 2020, which is where you are wrong. You are wrong. It'll never stop in this world. You are wrong. You are wrong. And I'm saying, no, I don't think so. And I want to be real calm about it. Not rah-rah. I don't feel rah-rah. I feel very kind of quiet about it. And it's if we can use the text in Acts 26, I don't want to be, this is going to be, you know, just a short, you know, I always say that. But I want you to see something. It's like Paul is told that he's wrong. And he stands before Agrippa. And Agrippa says in verse 1, and this is the whole chapter, but of course we're not going through the whole chapter, but I just want to show you something in the context of what we're saying tonight. Agrippa said unto Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. And I'd like to say, thank you. I can speak for myself. What is the issue? Paul is wrong. And the king said, you're allowed to speak. And Paul is saying, thank you. And I want to say it this way. I will speak for myself for what I have believed. When I break the box of ointment and I pour it on Jesus, I will speak for myself. When I decide to leave college and go to Bible college and make that decision, I will speak for myself. Because one day you and I will stand before the throne of God at the Bema Seat throne, and we will be able to answer for ourselves. And I hope that you and I will be able to say that it looked like we were wrong, but we were not wrong. We were right. Thank you for this lady who had the courage to clap. Okay, no, it's true. It is like that. Wait a minute, let's say it again. Agrippa said, you are allowed to answer for your life. You're allowed to answer for what you have believed, what you are believing. Now, you and I, we know the answers by our Bible verses and by our lifestyle. I know this. And many times but I feel like this is something to say to us as a church. I don't feel like apologizing to anybody for anything, basically. I mean, I'm not a perfect person. But I'd like to stand with the Apostle Paul and say to King Agrippa and the others listening, don't you know that the prophets said this would happen? Don't you know that a man would be raised from the dead, and you know this was not done in a corner? And don't you know what the prophets have said? I mean, look at, don't you know what the Bible has been saying all along about the Messiah? And you say, I am wrong. When he appeared to me midday, O king, and he told me that he had called me to turn people from Satan to God and from darkness to light, that they would receive forgiveness of their sins and be sanctified by his grace. And, O king, I was not disobedient to this vision. So, just to make this short, Paul, you're permitted to, and he said, listen to me patiently. Listen to me patiently. Yeah, I love that word, patiently. If you really want to know about Mary breaking the box of ointment, then listen to her patiently. Don't judge her, because she has reason for what she's doing. And like, really understand that we are part of something. And by the way, we are not the only church in all the world. You know that. That's ridiculous to think that we would think that way. You know, that's ridiculous. But we are very confident about some things. That when we decide to have a good diet of this book and the Spirit move in our hearts, and these young people, I want to just say it, I mean, young and old, we're all the same. I don't see any generation gap in our spiritual life. There isn't any, even male or female, there isn't any gap. There's just the oneness of life, the same life in those young people, the same in us. And we're going, growing together. But it is kind of crazy how we live, to be honest. And when they heard Paul speak like this, you know what the Festus said, right? Verse 24. And as he spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. That means, Paul, you're insane. Paul, you are insane. Much learning does make you mad or insane. You've been in the library too long. You're weird. You've been in a cave. You've been in, you're a monk or a mystic. You've had a vision. There's something crazy. You ate too many mushrooms or something. Paul, you are out of your mind. Oh, no. No. He answered, he said, verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. It's beautiful when you can look crazy, but you're so sane that it shocks. You're so together, much more together sometimes than our accusers. But we speak forth the words of truth and soberness. No, no. Sometimes I'm so encouraged when I reflect on all the very, very intelligent men of God through history, the theologians and servants and pastors and leaders and the women of God that are so, so smart and way beyond us, and I mean me, in our thinking, way beyond. I mean, they're like amazing people, and I'm part of that group. I'm part of that group. I mean, Augustine, they say he wrote, and you know how they wrote in the 4th century. I mean, this is papyrus and, you know, the quill pens. I mean, this is 1 million words. Wow. I don't even think 1 million words. 1 million words. Oh, Festus, most noble Festus, I speak the words of truth and soberness. I've just been serious about what I believed regarding Christ. Because I'm serious, and it'll affect my friends. It'll affect the church I go to. It'll affect my mission in my heart. It'll affect how I use my free time. It'll affect my, when I get a girlfriend and I honor her with dignity, I am not sleeping with her. Why aren't you sleeping with her? Because I honor her with dignity and I want our marriage to be blessed of God. By his grace, by faith. Oh, you're weird. You are weird. You are wrong. You are weird. Get used to it and decide in your own heart, thank you that I am permitted to answer for myself. Oh, King Agrippa, I am very glad. Just listen to me patiently. I have a number of arguments that I learned about this subject, this one and this one and this one. And if you have the time and the patience and the hearing ear, you'll listen to what I have to say. And very likely you'll be impressed that I'm not stupid. And even if I am stupid, I can still be right. I can be stupid and right. But it's very possible I'm not stupid. This shakes the group. They're listening to him. It shakes them. So Agrippa, and we'll finish with this. Agrippa makes a decision. He could go free. He can go free. There's nothing he's done wrong here. There's no anything illegal, no criminal violation. He could go free. That's at the very end of the chapter, verse 30. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Do you know what that means in my language right now in the context? He could go free, but he's still held to be wrong. He is still kept in jail. But he should go free, but we're not going to let him go. He's still wrong. And I want to say tonight, there's something about the ministry that is so awesome. We win souls. We preach the gospel. People can actually sit at our doorstep and say, if it wasn't for you, I don't know where I would be. I don't know how many times I've heard that around in different countries. People say, if people hadn't come, where would I be? What would my life be? And I am one of them who can say the same thing. If it wasn't for the man of God that God raised up to bring a revival of the Word of God into my life, where would I be? Where would I be? Where would I be living? What would I be thinking? What would I be doing? I know where I would be by just looking at a vast number of the population. But the world would be just looking at that and just say, they are right. And they look over at me and they say, you are wrong. It's in the atmosphere. It's in the papers, it's in the TV, it's in the novels that people write about missions and about the church and about men and women of God. We are wrong. We carry that with us. But that's okay, because I can answer for myself. I consider it an honor that you allow me to give an answer for what I believe and what I'm doing. Do you know this box of ointment? Doesn't mean anything to me in the light of Jesus Christ. I give him everything. You know my family? I let God deal with my family. I will follow Jesus with all my heart, and God will take care of my family. I do not know how it will work or what will happen, but I believe God. I live by faith in God, and I'll let God take care of whatever he's doing, and all his ways are right. And his ways are right, his spirit is right, his heart and mind is right. It's beautiful. So don't underestimate the value of your precious faith, and don't let anybody steal it from you. When you go to bed at night, just be quiet before God in your heart and say, Lord, I believe you're worthy of everything. And the world will say, I'm crazy, but you and I know I'm not. The world will mock and ridicule our commitment, but you and I know through this commitment we can reach, we can love, we can forgive, we can touch people. And it's happening. GGCA is packed with kids. I did the senior class today. We had a precious group of young adults. I think these kids are awesome. We look at the Bible college starting up in 10 days from today. Pastor Ben coming this week. And Pastor Ben will say, Pastor Schaller and the team and the folks that came to Finland, it changed my life. And they will say, you are wrong. But we will say, looking into the face of Pastor Ben, and as we do every day here together as a body, we look into each other's faces and we encourage each other. And when there's a little bit of a thing in the background. We are weird. We are strange. We've done something wrong. It's not exactly right. It's crazy the way you live, and it's crazy what you do. But we say, could I answer for myself? I've got a family. I drive my own car. I own a house, or I rent an apartment. I got a job. My boss likes me. I go to church. I have 1,000 friends. I have answered prayer. I have a living Christ. I have a kingdom that is coming. And what do you have? What does the world have? They've got Las Vegas and Hollywood and movies and entertainment and restaurants and bar rooms and adultery and betrayal and broken hearts and broken families, and we have that too. We're not any different in that way, but we are different, and it's beautiful. You don't apologize for it. Learn how to answer. I just say basically, why is it strange to you that God would raise the dead? That's there in verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? It's what our prophet, our fathers said. And if he is raised from the dead, then everything in my life has changed. He is the center. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning, the end. He's the Word. He's the Word incarnate. You and I are the body. We have an anticipation for a convention coming up in June 2020 and Uricon March 2020. But we know that there's a big convention coming one day in the year 2027, in 2052. I don't know when it will be, but it will be. There will be a convention, and the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah on the throne. And we will be in the midst of that amazing, incredible person. And on that day, there'll be nobody saying we were wrong. It'll be heaven that'll be saying, you're not perfect, but you were right. Okay, amen. Lord, we people of in warfare, people of warfare. And Paul, when he died, he said, all of Asia has forsaken me, and nobody stood with me when I gave an answer. And maybe that might happen to some of us one day too. But we will also hopefully say, I ran a race, I ran the course, I finished the race, and laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. That it will be happening for many, many that are listening to me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We believe that. Bless these thoughts to our hearts in your name. Anyone not a believer, come to Jesus tonight by opening your heart to him and giving him your trust and your heart and saying to Jesus, I believe in you. In Jesus' name. Anyone at all, raise your hand here in the auditorium. Say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. I believe in him and I need him. Anybody at all? Beautiful little music in the background there. Thank you, Julius. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody at all? Just raise your hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's finish with this. Have you ever been told you are wrong when actually you're right? Yes. That happens in the world that we are living in. But know it and say back to the atmosphere, yes, I know that you are say I am wrong because of the waste of my time and money and talent. But I know whom I have believed, and I know that all that I have given up, I will not be shamed. He that believes will not be ashamed. And I know that in my heart that my Redeemer liveth, and I will not be embarrassed or ashamed for having broken the box of alabaster, box of ointment, and trusted in him. But actually, we've been right on time for his burial. Amen.